So today, in light of our celebration, I'm going to take a little different direction because we have been teaching about the supernatural, the realm of the supernatural. We've learned there are two realms, the realm of light and the realm of darkness, the kingdom of God and the kingdom of Satan. And we understand that these two kingdoms are against each other, right? There is a conflict, the kingdom of God and the kingdom of Satan. Last week we talked about staying out of the darkness. We live in a very dark world. We understand that. And we have to close those doors. We can't open the doors to darkness. Amen. We got to stay in the light and walk in the light and live in the light. So today I want to take a little different direction because I want to talk to you about supernatural moments. Come on, somebody. Supernatural moments. So in today's sermon, I want you to understand and realize that there are moments in life when the power of God is released into the realm of our spiritual, natural world. It's what we call breakthrough. Spiritual breakthrough. When there is a release. Now remember the two realms of the spirit world, the realm of darkness, the realm of light. And that the supernatural realm can and does invade the natural realm. In both categories, right? The world of the demonic enters the natural world. And thank God, the world of light, the kingdom of God, the power of God, that also enters the natural realm. And in the record of Scripture, we are loaded, the Bible is loaded with examples of supernatural moments. When I think of all the stories in Scripture of supernatural moments, things that just happen just like that. I mean, the Word of God is loaded with it. And I want to draw your attention to one story in particular, and it's found in the book of Acts, chapter 16. Book of Acts, chapter 16 tells us a little bit about the missionary ministry of Paul and Silas. And they are ministering the gospel. They are traveling around. They are preaching. There is a move of God in His Word, place all over. And God is showing up. He is confirming His Word with signs following. And just things are happening. A lot of things are happening. How many of you know that a church should thrive in the presence of God? Amen. I thank God that we have a thriving church. I thank God for that. Because where there's life, there is a thriving move of God that is responsible for it. And we rejoice in that. So I want to visit this story with you in Acts 16, beginning in verse 16. It says, "Now it happened as we went to prayer." Just think of that statement right there. Things happen when you go to pray. Amen. What a revelation. It says, "Now it happened as we went to prayer that a certain slave girl possessed with a spirit of divination met us, who brought her masters much profit by fortune telling." All right, so this girl possessed with a spirit of divination, it simply means that she told people's future. So she was the local psychic, and she had pimps. Do y'all see that? Because they were collecting the money. "Brought her masters much profit, but men of the servant fortune telling. This girl followed Paul and us and cried out, saying, 'These men are the servants of the Most High God who proclaimed to us the way of salvation.' And this she did for many days. But Paul, greatly annoyed, turned and said to the Spirit, 'I command you in the name of Jesus Christ to come out of her.' And he came out that very hour." All right, so let me just kind of pause for just a second here. Wait a minute. If you serve God and walk in righteousness and walk in the light, you have authority? Do y'all see that? You have authority? That's why you close the door in the dark, because the darkness always tries to get in. Why? Because it wants to steal your authority. But we find it here. There's authority. He came out that very hour. Verse 19, but when her masters saw that their hope of profit was gone, they seized Paul and Silas, dragged them into the marketplace and to the authorities. They brought them to the magistrates and said, these men, being Jews, exceedingly trouble our city. And they teach customs which are not lawful for us, being Romans, to receive or observe. Then the multitude rose up together against them, and the magistrates tore off stripes, commanded them to be beaten with rods, and when they had laid many stripes on them, they threw them into prison, commanding the jailer to keep them securely. Having received such a charge, he put them in the inner prison and fastened their feet in the stocks. But I love verse 25. But at midnight, Paul and Silas were praying again. What did it say in verse 16? Now it happened when they went to prayer. Now it happened when they went to prayer. Get that? Things happen when we go to prayer. All right, so at midnight they are praying and singing hymns to God, and the prisoners were listening to them. People are always listening to you. What is your life saying? What is it speaking? They are hearing what you say. They are hearing your words, and they are seeing your lifestyle. Suddenly there was a great earthquake, so the foundations of the prison were shaken. How many of you know when God shows up, things happen? And immediately all the doors were open and everyone's chains were loosed. You know what's so interesting about this? Is not only was Paul and Silas's chains loose, all the prisoners. See, God sets all those who are bound, he sets them free. Hallelujah. He who the Son sets free is free indeed. That's what the Word says. It says they were all released. They were all freed. And the keeper of the prison, verse 27, awakening from sleep, sleeping on the job. Man, he thought it was a bad dream. He sees the prison doors open, supposing the prisoners had fled. He draws his sword, is about to kill himself. But Paul cried with a loud voice, saying, do yourself no harm, for we are all here. Then he called for a light, because the prison was dark. It was a dungeon. Rats, roaches, mosquitoes, gnats, all the things I deal with in the marsh. Maybe except the roaches. And he brought them out and said, sirs, what must I do to be saved? Believe on the Lord Jesus Christ, and you will be saved and your household. Hallelujah. What is a supernatural moment? A supernatural moment is when God invades the natural world to accomplish divine purpose. Get that in your spirit, my friends. When God invades the natural world, and he has done it all through the Word of God, both Old World and New Testament, God invades the natural world. Breakthrough, his purpose. I love Galatians 4:4. It says, but when the fullness of the time had come, God sent forth his Son, born of a woman, born under the law. Supernatural moment. When the time had come, God had a moment when he would invade this world and his Son would be born into this world. Notice it says, not born of a man. Are y'all with me? One of the foundational principles of Holy Scripture. And listen, that's under attack today. There's liberal churches that deny the virgin birth. Some demon got in those churches. Amen? Foundational principle. Born of a woman, not of a man. Born under the law. When the fullness of time had come, God invaded the natural world. Now think of what happened prior to that. Zacharias, who he and his wife would give birth to John the Baptist, Jesus' cuz. John was Jesus' cousin. That was his cuz. Y'all hear me, cuz? All right, just checking. They were awake. service this morning, they were a little sleepy, so I'm trying to see if y'all might be a little more awake. Yeah, so Zacharias goes into the temple, and what happens? He has an encounter with a spirit realm. God invaded his world. The angel of the Lord shows up and says, you're going to give birth. You're going to have a son. Your wife, not him, but let's clarify these things. Amen. Your wife is going to give birth, and his name will be John. Then Mary, she has an angelic visitation. You're going to birth a son. His name will be called Jesus. Divine moments. It's when God invades the natural world to accomplish a divine purpose. So my friends, realize this. God has a divine purpose for you. Amen? All of us. God has a divine purpose for every one of us. One of the most quoted verses in all of Scripture is Romans 8:28. And it says, and we know that all things work together for good to those who love God, to those who are called according to his purpose. I'm not just saved to take up space. I am saved to accomplish something. You are for you to accomplish something. Amen. God has a divine purpose for you. This verse tells us that we are part of something bigger than ourselves. God is active in this world. He is active in our lives because he is accomplishing the eternal purpose that is in his Son, Jesus Christ. Hallelujah. Thank God that we're part of something bigger than ourselves. Now, this purpose may at times face resistance, but it cannot be defeated. Are y'all with me? See, that's why Paul said we were hindered, but we were not defeated. Hallelujah. It's resisted, but it's not defeated. And it will never be defeated. I love 2 Timothy 1:9. Paul said this to Timothy. He said, who has saved us and called us with a holy calling, not according to our works, but according to his own purpose and grace, which was given to us in Christ Jesus before time began. I can't even wrap my mind around that concept that it was given to us, look at Jeremiah, before time began. Book of Jeremiah, Old Testament. Word of the Lord came to the prophet. And what did he say? Before, this is God that spoke to the prophet, Jeremiah, before I formed you in your mother's womb, I knew you. Are y'all with me? Divine purpose. Divine purpose. Hallelujah. Thank God. There is divine purpose. What is a supernatural moment? It's when God invades the natural world to accomplish divine purpose. And God has a divine purpose for you and I. And thank God that he does. When we were in Georgetown, Texas, and the hurricane had hit, and man, we all know it was bad. I feel for the people in Panama City and Mexico Beach. And we just got back from the beach ourselves. But I didn't go that far. I went to Gulf Shores, Alabama. I went to Forrest Gump land. Praise God. Hallelujah. Didn't see old Forrest, but boy, the weather was beautiful. And gorgeous. But further down, we know what they're going through. And we need to keep those folks in our prayers and our thoughts. Restoration and lift them up and believe God to help them through the restoration, the recovery process, because we know that can be long and hard, and it can be very challenging. You know, so when the hurricane hit and we were in Georgetown, Texas, I went to God in prayer, and I said, Lord, what do you want me to do? God said, I want you to go back to New Orleans, and West Point Church is going to be born in 2006. Supernatural moments. Had no idea how it was going to happen. Had no idea how it would come about. But then the Lord, see, we're simply the one. It's His drama. We're just the players. Amen. We're just the vessels. God's the architect. The prophet Isaiah said he knows the beginning from the end. Amen. He knows the beginning from the end. It doesn't say, think of this now, it doesn't say that he knows the end from the beginning. It said he knows the beginning from the end. Amen. So he knows the beginning from the end. You know, because he's the one who designed it. He's the one who drew it up. He's the architect. Amen. It's his plan. It's his purpose. We are just invited into it. That's why he says, when Paul wrote to Timothy, he has saved us with a holy calling. Began his grace, his purpose, even before time began. It was operating. Man, that is so awesome and so incredible. I had no idea what was going to happen, but God knew. It was a supernatural moment. And we came back and we got our building, that building restored. God already had someone lined up to buy it. We didn't even have to advertise it. Didn't even have to sign a realtor. God already had that. He already had that figured out. And it just all fell into place. And I mean, it happened so fast and so quick. Amen. Because God is the one who is executing his own divine purpose. And we are simply the vessels. Supernatural moments. Man, I can't even imagine how many supernatural moments does God have marked out for you and I in this journey of life. How many things does he want to do along the course of the journey that is going to accomplish his plan and his purpose? So I want to give you four keys to having a supernatural moment. Four keys, four things. First of all, and this is so right on. Don't let your problem steal your moment. Come on, somebody. Don't let your problem. I don't want to be like old Bob Riley, who carried a goldfish around his neck. Y'all know that movie? I know it's going way back. What about Bob? When he goes to see the doctor, he says, I have problems. It's like, man, that's what church is all about. Amen? We have constant problems. That's why we're here. All of us. Nobody's perfect. You know, that people say, I don't go to church because there's hypocrites. Great. Come on. Because we're all hypocrites. Because you know what that means? It means that we come because we are acknowledging we don't have it all figured out. We don't have it all together. That's why we're here. Amen? That's why we're here. Because we need help. We need God. We need the Lord to work. We need Him to move in our lives. Amen? Nobody's perfect. We are all still a work in progress. There's areas of our lives that God wants to work in. Things He wants to correct. Areas that He wants to heal. Things that He wants to do on the inside of us. Amen? That's what's so awesome about the church. We're not here to judge anybody. We're here to help them with their problems. Amen. And the first problem is we're separated from that began, and we need reconciliation through His Son, Jesus Christ. And once that begins, man, then it's a growth process. We're here to help people grow, to build them. Amen. To bring them into supernatural moments. So don't let your problem steal your moment. Listen to what this says in Philippians chapter 2 and verse 14. Great, great verse. He says, do all things without grumbling and fault finding and complaining against God, questioning and doubting among yourselves. Do all things. In the Old Testament, the Bible says, those that are willing and obedient will inherit the land. Willingness designates an attitude, right? See, because you might tell your son or your daughter, go clean your room. And they might go clean that room, but they might throw a few things around in the process, right? Because they're not happy about it. They are being obedient, but they're not willing. Same principle applies in the area of the things of God. If we are willing and obedient, because the Bible says right here, we read it right here, do all things without grumbling, fault-finding, among complaining against God, because it is against God, questioning and doubting among yourselves. So remember this, your flesh looks for things to complain about. I have to kind of bring myself in subjection when I go to restaurants, because I can immediately tell if it's going to be a good day or a bad day. And then I have to kind of bring that, and I'm still working in that area. Becky says good, because she knows it. She knows it's true. I was like, oh, I don't think it's going to be a very good today. But you know what? We're going to tip them anyway. Amen. And we're going to give them a lot. And then Becky says, yesterday at Outback, I said, I don't think the service is going to be too good. She said, I'm going to keep that in mind when it's tip time. I didn't ask her how much she tipped the girl. But she got better as it went along. You know, but how many know it's so easy to begin to grumble, complain, criticize, fault find? You know, I remember, and this was, I'm going to share this story. This was after the hurricane, too. You want a miracle moment, supernatural moment? Okay, we go to a minister's conference in North Louisiana. And the services, you know, it was a small town. And we went in, there's not a lot of things open. You know, restaurants that are open late. So we went in a huddle house, right? Huddle house? I get that mixed up with the other house. So the huddle house. All right, so I go in the huddle house and I sit down and order. I said, yes, ma'am, I want a club sandwich. All right, so when they brought the food, she brought me a chicken sandwich. And I was like, miss, I said, I ordered a club sandwich. She said, yeah, that's a club sandwich. And then I looked at her and I said, ma'am, I said, you don't know what a club sandwich is? I wasn't trying to be attitudinal. I mean, this isn't a club sandwich. I don't work at a restaurant, but I know a club sandwich. And then she said, no, just like that, no. I said, well, a club sandwich, it's a sandwich sliced into four quarters, and it's got all these meats on it, you know. And I said, it's on your menu. And I said, but you know, she said, oh, well, I'll take this back. I said, nah. I said, don't worry about it. I said, they already made it. I said, no problem. I said, I'm going to eat the chicken sandwich. No big deal. All right. So we get ready to pay the bill. And I just had this impression from the Lord. The bill was only like, I think it was less than $20. All right. So from the Lord, I put a $20 bill down to cover the bill, and I had this impression from the Lord. So I took a $20 bill out of my wallet, and I said, and this is for you. Listen, when she got that $20 bill, she went, oh, and then she just appeared. She ran into the back cook area, and then she came out, and she was literally in tears, and she said, a co-worker in the kitchen, you know, her husband left her. It was Christmas time. It was the month of December. She said, she doesn't have any money to, husband left her, doesn't have any money to buy gifts for her children. And all the waitresses tonight said that whatever we get in tips tonight, we're going to give it to you to purchase Christmas gifts, to help you purchase Christmas gifts for the kids. All right, so when she told me that story, then I opened my wallet and I gave her everything I had. It was like an $86 tip. Hallelujah. Now look, I could have grumbled and fallen. This ain't no club sandwich, girl. Don't you know what a club sandwich is, girl? Are y'all with me? We got to follow the sensitivity of God, because there are supernatural moments waiting to happen. A man, listen, Proverbs senses of his, a man's moral self shall be filled with the fruit of his mouth and with the consequences of his, or consequence of his words. He must be satisfied whether good or evil. That's Proverbs 18:20. Let me bring you to the next thing. Four key areas. Don't let your problem steal your moment. Learn how to thank God regardless. Hallelujah. If we could learn how to just thank God in the midst of it all, I'm telling you, we are going to reap the blessing and the benefit of it. Look at what this says in 1 Thessalonians chapter 5 in verse 18. Great verse. What a tremendous encouragement, wonderful encouragement from God's word. He says, thank God. Listen to what it says now. Thank God in everything, no matter what the circumstances may be. Be thankful and give thanks, for this is the will of God for you. It's the will of God? Wait, it's the will of God for me to give thanks in the midst of bad sandwiches? Come on, somebody. Are y'all with me? Yeah. God says in everything, no matter what the circumstances, be thankful and give thanks, because this is the will of God. You thank God at all times and in every circumstance. Now, that doesn't mean that you thank God that your husband or your wife just left you. And now somebody say, well, Pastor, you don't know my husband or my wife. I've been praising God from the moment they walked out. It doesn't mean that you thank God for every negative thing that happens to you. It means you thank God in it and through it. Are y'all with me? But we have to do it intentionally, because our flesh looks for things to complain about. What about when we come into the church? Well, it's too loud. Well, it's not loud enough. Well, it's too bright. Well, it's not bright enough. The music is, there's too much of this. There's not enough of that. I mean, we could just get in that cycle in every area of our life. On the job. And I know some of us work for devils sometimes. Hello, somebody. Amen. How are you going to conquer that devil? You got to praise God in the midst of it. You got to learn how to thank God regardless, but it's going to have to be intentionally. Learn how to thank God regardless. Don't thank Him for the negative things that are happening to you, but thank Him in the midst of it. Thank Him as you are going through it, because the Bible says, thank God in everything, no matter what the circumstances may be. Hallelujah. If we could only learn to do that, to thank Him regardless. Let me give you the third thing. Four keys to having a supernatural moment. If you can praise, you will be raised. Hallelujah. Come on, think about it. All right, go back to our story in the book of Acts. The Bible says, but at midnight in verse 25, Paul and Silas were praying and singing hymns to God. Now, can you imagine the fortitude that took? I mean, they could have blamed God. Lord, we're trying to preach your gospel. Lord, we're trying to win people to you, and we're trying to influence people for you. And look what it got us. You know, we've been beaten to a pulp. You know, we're in here in this dungeon. It's cold. It's dirty. It's full of all kind of creepy, crawly things. You know, I mean, they could have immediately become overwhelmed with their circumstance. But the scripture says they didn't. The scripture says that they began to pray and they began to sing hymns. They did not understand all that was going on, I'm sure. But then in verse 26, it said, and suddenly, hallelujah, suddenly in praise you will be raised. And the Bible says, and suddenly there was a great earthquake. So the foundations of the prison were shaken, and immediately all the doors were opened and everyone's chains were loosed. Oh my, if I could only thank God and praise God in the midst of it all, I will experience a supernatural moment when the power of God invades our natural world. And the scripture is loaded with it. It's loaded with it. The woman with the issue of blood, she's on her hands and knees. If I can only touch the hem of His garment. If I can only touch the hem of His garment. If I could just get to the hem of His garment, I know I'll be healed. She touched the hem of His garment. Immediately Jesus stops and says, who touched me? The disciples said, what are you talking about? Look at all the crowd. Everybody's touching you. Oh, no. There was a difference. There was a difference. Faith touched him. Are y'all with me? Confidence touched him. Hallelujah. And Jesus said, who touched me? And the Bible says the woman, she was fearful and trembling and came and said, I'm the one. And of course, Jesus, how about the time he did her and blessed her? What an incredible supernatural moment. How about the time when the little boy with a sack lunch, he's following around with Jesus, all the things he's doing in the great Galilean ministry. And all of a sudden, Jesus says, I want you to command all the people to sit down. He said, I want you to put them in groups of 50. Jesus was organized. Put them in groups of 50. There was thousands of people. And then he commanded the disciples. He said, now I want you to feed them. And they're like, what? We don't have enough food for this crowd. Well, what do you have? Well, there's a little boy here. Are y'all still with me? There's a little boy here, and he's got a couple of fish. Kind of sounds like some of our fishing trips, Daryl. Chris, right? He's got a couple of fish and a little bit of bread. And the disciples said, but what is that among so many? Jesus said, bring it. That little boy's sack lunch became a supernatural moment. Hallelujah. The disciples weren't even ready for it. I mean, don't they realize who they were following? I mean, the Bible is loaded with supernatural moments, both Old Testament and New Testament. If we could learn how to pray a moment, we will be raised. We will step into a supernatural moment. I love this verse in Hebrews 13, in verse 15. The Bible says this. It says, let us continuously offer the sacrifice of praise, the fruit of our lips, giving thanks to his name. Therefore, through him, by him, constantly, at all times, offer up to God. Notice that it says constantly, at all times, acknowledge him, praise him, confess him, glorify his name. Oh, if we can praise, we will be raised. Why? Because God has a supernatural moment with your name on it. Hallelujah. With your name on it. I remember when I left working for Coca-Cola, working in the sales department. I remember when I left to go into full-time ministry. And I gave I came in and gave a 2-week notice, and we got paid monthly. You got paid once a month. Becky hated it. She hated that system. Because you got to realize if you get once a month, you can't spend it in 1 week. Right? You got to manage it. But we had a problem with that. Because, well, all the bills are paid. Let's go celebrate. Hallelujah. But there's going to be other bills before the next check, so it took a little adjustment. So we got paid once a month. So I gave my 2 weeks notice, and it was at the beginning of the month. It had already been paid for the month. All right, so I was asked if I could work through the entire month, and I said, yeah, I'll do that. I believe that was the right thing to do, the honorable thing to do. I was asked. You know, I mean, I could have just left, but I was asked, so I said, yeah, I'll do that. And then also, prior to that, just a week before that, I had made a commitment to a men's ministry called Promise Keeper. I'd made a monthly pledge, and I never honored the pledge. I never sent one offering. You know, you just kind of forget about things sometimes, and then you'll think about it, and, oh, yeah, man, I need to do that, and then before you know it, man, so much time has gone by. So then I get a sales bonus, and the sales bonus, Coke. Lowest bonus I think that I'd ever gotten. It was a bad month for Coke. the legal kind. So I just had this impression, supernatural moments now. I just had this impression, I'm going to send that check. Now, we needed that money. We could have sure used that money. But I said, I'm going to send that check. So I sent that check. All right, so then I fulfilled that time with the company. And about a month later, I get a check from the Coca-Cola company for, I think it was like $1,500 or $1,600. To this day, I can't tell you what that check was for. I mean, I had been paid. You know, everything was settled up. I don't, and listen, I'm going to tell you, they don't do that. They look for ways to slice, cut, dice, and, you know, they don't do that. But I got that check, and you know what? I got these new tennis shoes, and I keep tripping over them. Y'all notice that? You lift my feet higher. So I get to wear tennis shoes to preach today. Hallelujah. And guess what? They knew. We went on vacation. Becky didn't get any shoes. So guess what? Come on, boy. This is my check. Hallelujah. So I get that check, and I knew that's God. God did that. God intervened. God sent that. Listen, supernatural moments. If we'll stay off of the problem, don't focus on the problem or the circumstance, but in the midst of all of it, learn how to thank God. Learn how to praise God. You may not understand what's going on, but praise Him anyway. You may not realize what's happening, but thank Him anyway. Worship Him anyway. And I'm telling you, supernatural things will happen. Let me give you the fourth and final thing. See, praising God lifts you into a supernatural moment. Are you discouraged? Are you despondent? Are you depressed? Listen, I believe that if we'll get this right, we can get lifted out of our depression. We can get lifted out of our despondency. I find in Scripture that David, as great a man as he was, he had a lot of issues. He had a lot of family conflicts. He had a lot of problems with his sons. He had family problems. He committed adultery. He had a lot of issues. The Bible says that David got depressed. Why art thou cast down, O my soul? Hope thou in God. I mean, David rode the roller coaster. He went through incredible seasons of discouragement, seasons of depression. But then he gives us this incredible psalm in Psalms 40 when he says, I waited patiently for the Lord. Now, when he says, I waited patiently for the Lord, that doesn't mean he was just killing time. I guarantee you he was engaging that in a time of prayer, in a time of worship. Because think of this, David was the great psalmist of Israel. He would pour himself out through song and music and musical instruments. Amen. That's what he did. It was his gift. That's what he did. I guarantee you, he was not just waiting around, twiddling his thumbs. He waited patiently for the Lord. And it says, and he inclined to me, and he heard my cry, and he brought me up out of. Man, I love that phrase. He brought me up out of a horrible pit, out of the miry clay. And he set my feet upon a rock, and he established my steps. He has put a new song. He's put a new song in my mouth. What is that song? Look at it. Praise to our God. Many will see it and fear and will trust in the Lord. He put a new song in my mouth. It was praise to God. Oh, if we could get this, praising moment will lift you into a supernatural moment. Hallelujah. Now, let me just kind of end with this because, you know, David is such an incredible story. And, I mean, he had a lot of supernatural moments. But when he saw that naked woman on the roof, that was not one of them. Are y'all with me? That was the attempt. And he should have recognized it. He should have recognized the trap. But he didn't. Why? I'll tell you why. Because he was at a low point spiritually. He allowed his walk to get to a low point spiritually. That's why you have to stay in the Word of God. You have to stay in a spirit of prayer. because this world, man, it'll chew you up and spit you out. And your sin nature. I mean, you know, listen, we've gone out to, and we're going to have Brother Chuck Girard with us next week. Great testimony. And he did work with the Beach Boys and got saved in the Jesus movement back in the 70s. And he's going to be here with us next week. And he was one of the first guys involved in the contemporary gospel music industry. And was with a group called Love Song. Well, that's a pretty plain and simple name, Love Song. And you're going to be able to enjoy his ministry. He'll be here for both services and Sunday. And a powerful, powerful testimony I know that he's going to share with us. And you'll realize how real these supernatural moments are, you know. So David, you know, he allowed himself to get to a low point spiritually. See, we got to stay focused. You got to stay in the Word of God. You got to stay in a spirit of prayer. You know, you might go over to Bourbon Street or French Quarter, walking to Bourbon Street. All of a sudden, you might start just hearing some music. And before long, you'll just start, yeah. You'll start feeling that. Are y'all with me? Amen? You'll start feeling, because it wants to get in you. See, David should have recognized that setup, just like we talked about last week. You got to stay out of the darkness, because the darkness tries to invade. All right, so it invaded David's life, and he was messed up. But thank God he didn't stay there. See, that's why he wrote this. He said, I waited for him, and he brought me up out of a horrible pit. Hallelujah. And he set my feet. He reestablished my steps. And he put a song back in me. Praise to our God. Many will see it and they will trust in the Lord. He recaptured a supernatural moment. My friends, have you had one? Have you had one recently? Maybe that low point. And you need to recapture. You need to recapture that supernatural moment in your life. I'm here to tell you, you can do it today. You can experience it today. God has it with your name on it, and he's ready to release it. Hallelujah. He's ready to release it. I'll leave you with this. When I had to break free from the world in which I lived, as a young man, and all the people that I was associating with, and I had to break free from that. Listen, it was a fight. I'm telling you, it was a fight. When you began to disassociate and reassociate, that's a hard transition, and a lot of people can't make that transition. See, that's why it's not that they can't, but they don't for various reasons. That's why we always encourage the ministry of the local church. Get in the house of God. Connect to the house of God. Get people around you that are going to help you in your walk. Amen? When I got out of that culture, I couldn't go hang around with those old drug dealers. Had to cut that off. Had to separate myself. You know, I couldn't, you know, one year I'm bringing this going on, bringing a big brown bag of marijuana lids to school because I had that illegal business going on. And the next year, because of a supernatural moment, I'm carrying a big black Bible. Hallelujah. All the guys that were looking for the weed were now getting the word. And they didn't like it. I'm telling you, they didn't like it. I remember going in art class. It's like, all right, y'all getting saved or you're getting transferred out of Miss Sharp's class? Hallelujah. You know why that happened? Because there was a supernatural moment. But I realized moving forward that I couldn't just live off of one moment. We need moment after moment after moment after moment, because God is active. Would you stand with me? Let's not stay so focused on the problem. Let's not stay so focused on what the devil's doing. Let's focus on what God is doing, and that he has some supernatural moments for each and every one of us.